Yep, subvesity.
When your ice box is bare, eat the ribs. Show your stomach you care. Eat the ribs. Pull the rib chest of the power. I think it's a shame. Swelling out the lung, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of building it loud. Best if you can eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah. Eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah. Chemicals in your food. Eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah. Now don't you think that that's rude? Gone. Eat the ribs.
Hi, this is Dan Sang here on Independence Day. We're going to talk about what America means to this group of young people here in the studio here with me. They are self-described, would it be correct to call you anarchists? What do you think of America? What American values do you think are important to be worth preserving, and what is worth challenging?
I think we should keep our great American values of genocide because they've proven so great in our great, great country.
Who has been genocided against?
I'm sarcastic.
Who?
The Native Americans who we stole the land from.
How about the, you know, California used to be part of Mexico.
Right.
So a lot of people died in that war.
I think it all depends on what do you mean by what you mean by America and Americans' values. America has a great history of labor struggles, civil rights, these sort of things are values in America that I think are noble values. But values such as my friend said, which include genocide, racism, sexism, homophobia, et cetera, are values in America that we feel, and of course authority, are values that we feel in America are values that we should throw out.
Do you want to give your names?
Matt.
Heather.
Matt.
Eric.
Great. Are you all from Orange County?
Yes.
Did you, what was it like growing up here? I mean, was that what turned you into anarchist?
Well, I, for one, have never, up until recently, lived in Orange County. I've always lived in L.A. County.
Why would you want to live here?
I actually lived here because it was the only place where I was able to find an apartment. But nothing special with Orange County that makes me want to live here.
How about the others? What was it like growing up here?
It was okay. The Garden Grove Police Department aren't exactly the greatest police department in the world.
So I've heard of them, you know, hassling Asians. So it's not just Asians they hassle.
Oh yeah, my coworker was arrested, not arrested, but his car was searched just for driving him down the street because they thought, because he's Asian, and he has a nice looking car, he is automatically a gang member, you know, part of some Asian.
So this was more recent. This was recently.
This is very recently. This was like 2 weeks ago.
So they're not supposed. Yeah, if you, we can talk after the show, but we can do something, because they settled this court case and they're not supposed to do these things anymore. Why do you, how did you come to this idea of anarchism? What made you?
Well, I, for one, the reason why I became an anarchist, I mean, obviously, living in this country, you see a lot of gross negligence, a lot of oppression that exists all throughout our country. But I was involved in an organization a while back called Food Not Bombs. And
so it's a community group that, you know, you didn't learn this in school, did you?
No, the educational system just does not preach anarchism, unfortunately.
It's probably the antithesis of
exactly. It's
control, discipline.
Right. They teach to
and bondage
to,
maybe
to follow, not to lead. We had a lot of harassment with the police, and that was the first time I recognized the issues of class within the very system that we live in, and the way that authority is used to control other individuals who are unwanted or speak or preach about ideas that other people, excuse me, other people don't feel comfortable hearing about.
People don't think of there being homeless people in Orange County, right?
There are many homeless people in Orange County. They're, I guess, harassed until they go away, they hide, they keep them out of sight so that people don't have to think about that issue or to deal with the effects that capitalism has on these people.
I know for one, there's 6 different homeless people that I like chill with after work that hang out outside my work. So if people think there's not homeless people, I mean, you know, why don't you come to Garden Grove and check it out? Go to the parks.
Are they everywhere? Any particular race or?
They aren't a particular race.
Yeah. They're not necessarily just veterans, or you know.
No, there is some that claim to be veterans that aren't. But
why would they claim to be? I don't
know. You know, I have no real idea. But there's this one guy who is a fascist. And he's claiming that he's a veteran for some reason, but he's only 20 years old.
Well, when we actually did Whittier Food Not Bombs, there were a lot of individuals who were indeed veterans that did actually fight for this country, only to be lost or fallen through the cracks, as some may say, and were forgotten about in this country after they fought so diligently for this country and everything this country claims it represents.
For the guys in the... Did you register for the draft?
No comment.
Unfortunately, I became an anarchist after I turned 18. So I had registered for the draft, but once I became an anarchist and realizing exactly what I did...
Because actually, they haven't prosecuted anybody, really. I mean...
They haven't prosecuted me. I mean, my excuse is they never sent me a card.
Yeah, I mean, very few people have been prosecuted.
Assuming that I didn't.
Maybe it's been a few years since they actually made an example of somebody. But most of the time, I think the main penalty is you can't get financial aid, certain type of penalties, if you don't sign.
I do have an acquaintance of mine who, back on the East Coast who did not register, and because of that, he's not getting financial aid for his education. So, I mean, they are still doing that, and, you know, that still is policy.
I noticed you're not wearing masks or, like, I can see your teeth. Why? Now I see a mask. too late. But why that outfit?
Well, a lot of us wear masks to keep identities hidden because by being an activist, especially an anarchist, you are subject to a lot of police harassment. And so that's a way to keep your identity from being known because police take pictures at protests. And also it's like in, for example, a large group that's called the Black Bloc where everyone wears black and masks, it's... they cannot, like, if that people in that Black Bloc commit crimes, they can't tell who's done it because everyone's face is covered.
There's also lots of events and protests. Folks wear bandanas or masks in solidarity with the folks in the Zapatistas and Chiapas as well who mask their identities.
So that's where you got the example from, you think?
I'm not sure if that's the case.
Is that a general thing? I mean, it's spread across the country, huh?
Generally. Yeah.
It's actually spread across the world. Not just in America where that's done. But, I mean, there are several different reasons. I mean, each individual who wears a mask is probably done for different reasons. It might be solidarity with the Zapatistas, or it might be to hide their identity, or it might be an intimidation tactic, which a lot of times might be the case as well. But I mean, there are several different reasons. But I mean,
to intimidate the people at a meeting or something.
Well,
what do you mean? Intimidation.
Yeah, it's more intimidating to see a bunch of people with masks on than it is to see a lot of it. I mean, it is an intimidating thing to see people with just masks on.
Police officers use it as scare tactics when they put their shields down and their masks, and you can't really identify who they are. You can't see human face too. It's used both, you know, both sides of the protests often.
Right.
And I've heard that police sometimes cover their badges so you can't tell who they are.
Yeah, I've done that a lot.
Right. You were at a protest this morning, huh? Some of
you.
Oh, you were.
Yes. We were down in the Westwood Federal Building. Every year there is a anti-immigration protest. Those individuals, generally of the white persuasion.
Do they do it on July 4th?
They do it every year on 4th of July.
Wow.
And they want to promote the idea of closing the borders and eliminating immigration specifically with Hispanics and people from Latin America. Last year, I had spoken with a woman who was from Austria, who was on the other side. Very strong Austrian accent, urging for us to close the border. So I guess it was safe once she got in. But then afterwards, she wants us to close the borders. But yeah, every year there's an anti-immigration protest. And every year, there are those of us who are against this, what we consider racist policy. And we go there to protest against the protesters.
You notice they don't target Canadians.
They look just like us, they would say, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
The what happened this morning then? Was there any?
Well, hassles? during the action, people began to take the streets. At that point, I guess the other side, those individuals who were for the anti-immigration rally, got nervous and began throwing Coke cans, where our side began likewise to picking up those Coke cans that were thrown at us and started throwing back at them. There was a bit of a scuffle, and the police arrested two individuals from our side.
And a cop got hit?
And a cop got hit with a Coke can. We're not sure which side threw the Coke can, but believe six stitches, if I'm not mistaken.
He's very distressed.
Police officer received
six. How do you know the number of stitches?
We
Radio?
Had spoken. We were doing prison support for those individuals who were arrested, and a cop had told us.
Actually, it was a news.
Oh, it was a reporter.
It was a news reporter.
Sorry,
told us about that.
I'm mistaken.
So, was there a big crowd of protesters?
There was about 150, 200 of our side. How much would you say on the other?
100-ish on the other side. Yeah. Maybe 100. I don't know.
Right.
Was it a mixed crowd? Were there Latinos there too?
There was Latinos. There was all different colors of people were there.
Yeah.
But sometimes people accuse, you know, in these postmortems of Seattle and Washington, D.C. protests, they say, where were the people of color? You know, there's a lot of discussion about that right now.
Right. That wasn't the case today. I know that that discussion is going on for large events.
Yeah. So do you, how do you, what kind of actions do you like to go to? Is it I know anarchists, you know, is it true that I mean, you do plan things, right? Or is it nothing is planned? I mean, how does that work?
Basically, there's lots of organizing that goes on for these events. But we often prefer to go things that don't go through the city with any kind of permit process, whereas other groups choose to go through the system and all that.
Oh, I see.
So they can legally protest.
Oh, communists!
Yeah. And
so it's more like a direct action kind of thing.
Yeah, basically.
But we're also involved, anarchists are also involved in labor movements and other movements that, I mean, it's not that we just exclude ourselves to just direct action. We're also involved in other activities that are considered, I guess, more reform, such
How about,
as the labor movement.
Yeah. How about this whole idea of property damage? Do you feel that it's okay to damage property, and you make a distinction between property damage and human damage, or what?
We definitely make a distinction between, from the violent standpoint, that property damage is not violence, because we consider violence interaction between people, not and perhaps people and animals, not between people and things like
inanimate objects.
Inanimate objects, yeah.
I also find it really interesting that anarchists specifically are pegged as the violent ones,
right.
Because the fact that we might smash a couple windows here and there during mass demonstrations, or a handful of anarchists do, which I would like to add that not all anarchists support those actions. There are a lot of anarchists who are very much against it, just like with any political ideology, whether it be capitalism, communism, fascism, et cetera, you're going to have those individuals who are going to be more willing to use violent actions, and those individuals are going to be less willing to. But I find it ironic that anarchists are pegged as the violent ones when it is the very system that we live in wages wars all the time. I mean, we, the American government overthrows democratic institutions or governments that were elected by people, and in the name of democracy, help destroy those institutions.
But this is a shift in strategy from, say, civil rights movement, right, where it was like passive resistance or non-violent action kind of stuff, right? Because they wouldn't, I mean, they would just look the other way when, would they do that or what?
Not all the stuff in the 60s was pacifist.
Right.
No.
You had a lot of people. True. You had the Black Liberation Army, the Weather Underground, the United Freedom Front.
Some folks we can't say on the air, right?
Right.
Just doing it.
The mofos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were several other groups. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. George Jackson Brigade, all these individuals were individuals that were a part of the 60s and 70s and were involved in armed action, and far worse than anything that we're involved in, or I should say far more violent, not worse.
But you're not in advocating armed insurrection.
At this point, I think it'd be foolish to
you get massacred.
Right. We're not stupid.
You know, Gandhi actually, we got an anonymous letter with a Gandhi quote on it. They sent us money, so.
Gandhi had sent our organization money.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I thought that was rather interesting.
Huh. What's the name of the organization? I mean, you have an organization.
Comments?
There's the August Collective that some local anarchists are involved in.
There are several organizations that we're in. August Collective is one of them. There's also Food Not Bombs.
Yeah.
There's also the Los Angeles Anarchist Black Cross Federation. The list goes on and on as far as the anarchist organizations in LA. So,
and this conference is organized by a coalition of these groups, or is mainly local? There's a conference coming up in August.
Right. There's the North American Anarchist Conference, and the conference itself is being organized just by the August Collective, but there's other events going on around the same time, like the People's Convention and other ones.
And the Democratic Party Convention.
Yeah, that are not specifically anarchist-related, and a lot of them are anti-anarchist, and they're being put on by various different groups in Los Angeles.
I think the Democrats might be throwing something too.
I
haven't heard any word on that, but
right.
Whoever has it.
What if they isolate you to this little, piece of land in downtown LA and
Pershing Square?
Yeah, or even a part of, across from Staples Center, I think. If they end up doing that,
I think we're gonna overflow wherever they're gonna put us, because there are gonna be so many people coming from all over the world, not just this country. To speak against not only the Democrats, but the way this country is being run.
How do you see them? I mean, how do you see Gore as representing? What does he represent to you guys?
Boredom.
He represents a lot of capitalism, globalization. He supports very much. He claims to be for the environment, but he has stock in an Occidental Petroleum, which is like raping the earth in Colombia. So he represents a lot of hypocrisy and the basic greed that capitalism is, it's an inherent part of.
He's a great American.
I think actually, in my perspective, what Gore represents is very similar to what George Bush represented. In the sense, I'll give you an example. George Bush one time went to a supermarket and was completely amazed that when you scan an item, it rings up. He was amazed that the UPC symbol actually is used as a pricing device. And here's a man who is supposed to be representing the American people, who's supposed to be representing the interests of American people. And he's so far out of touch with the American people that
he doesn't even do his own shopping
and hasn't even seen a check stand. And that long of time. I think that Gore, I think that Clinton, I think that all the individuals who are running for president are completely out of touch with the American people and the interests that these people are facing. Racism, sexism, all these things. Having to work for a minimum wage job. Clinton talked about all these jobs that he provided, but all of them were minimum wage jobs. Jobs that cannot supply for the family. And these people are making the decisions and running this country, and meanwhile everyone else, Mr. Joe Blow is suffering.
What do you think of these attempts to have fair wage kind of thing, like a $10 an hour
thing, like a living wage?
Living wage thing. Is that just reformist
legislation? That's a little too reformist for, I don't throw any stock in it. Put in capitalist terms.
But is it? It's better than not having it, no? Or what?
Well, potentially better.
Right. But... obviously, we should always try and relieve the plight of what people are facing every single day. But I mean, just like what FDR did, it's not addressing the real issue. And the real issue is the system that we live in. And the system that we live in is
it's putting. Business needs over human needs.
It always does. It always puts profit over people, and that's the nature of capitalism. And unfortunately, until we rid ourselves of this beast, if you will, we're always going to be facing such problems.
Oh, wait, on Subversity Gun, KCI, the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. The number here is 824-5824, area code 949. Call and chat with our anarchist friends here. 824-5824. Do you feel that there are any heroes left in America? This is Independence Day, and people are supposed to think about American values, American heroes. Who to you are American heroes, or do you deconstruct the whole idea of heroism?
Emma Goldman.
Yeah.
You mean alive today?
Alive or dead?
Yeah, people that you think of as pioneers, that are examples that you think of.
Albert Parsons, one of the victims of the Haymarket Massacre.
Oh yeah. I'm going to Chicago this week actually, and we plan to go to the grave.
Right, and actually Emma Goldman's grave is right next to it.
Right.
So you might want to check that out. I mean, there are several heroes that I can think of throughout American history.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Joe Hill,
right?
Labor activist for the Wobblies. You had Big Bill Haywood, Ricardo Flores Magón, who died in Leavenworth Prison. You have heroes right now who are in jail. Mumia Abdul-Jamal, Sekou Adinga, Jan Lemann. I mean, these are people who have fought for the American people, not only in their wars, but also on the streets, and who are now in prison at this present time.
Because Howard Zinn wrote in a recent issue of, I think, The Nation, said that the pictures of presidents in our high schools and schools should be replaced by those of dissidents. You know, they're the real American heroes.
He's right.
I agree.
I think presidents are more or less war criminals, because if they live by the same standards, they'd be hung for war criminal acts. I mean, look at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Look at the Vietnam War. Look at when Clinton's administration. I mean,
with Iraq.
But now, with the way the nature of battlefield, you just push a button and people die and you don't even see them.
That's what the American people need to understand: is with the push of a button, you have a whole bunch of dead people, and you watch it on the 6 o'clock news while you're eating your TV dinner. But are you gonna give a care?
I think the worst part of that is the fact that these wars that are being waged are wars to benefit corporations and not wars to benefit the American people. For example, Nicaragua and what we did in there. We more or less invaded a country because of the fact that, because of the fact that it infringed on corporations' interests, you know.
We have a question on the line. Krishna on the line. Hi. Okay. They can't hear you, but let me. I'll repeat the answer. Question. Answer. The caller says that there's a girl here and who's we're not hearing from her, and it's kind of sexist. So.
I really don't think it's sexist because we're all equals here. Certain people are answering questions based on their knowledge and opinion, and I'm speaking up when I want to, so I really don't consider it sexist.
Anything else? Hello? Any other? Put on another headphone. Yeah, okay. They can hear. Most of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
Can you hear?
Okay. Yeah. Now can you hear? Oh, you can hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now? Can you hear?
No.
Is it, what is it? Yeah. Okay. Squeaky. Yeah. Okay. Can you hear? Okay. Yeah, ask.
Oh.
What is it? Oh, it says Heather, what is it? Okay. Yeah, ask your question now. Yeah, she has headphones. What is it? What is what? What is it she wants? What is it you want?
As an anarchist or what?
As anarchist? Yeah. Can you hear? Ask the question.
I can't hear it nice.
Oh. We're having technical problems here. I see. Okay, now I got it. Sorry. Okay. Whoa. Yeah, I'll hook up another phone.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. There's so many headphones here, we've tried to hook up. Sorry. Okay.
That should be working.
Okay, that's working now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what is it you want?
All that just for that question?
As an anarchist.
Not funny.
Not funny. Okay.
I want to know your goals.
My goal is to eventually have a world with equality and without authority or oppression, and where we can live in harmony with nature and each other.
Well, do you think you'll need a college education for that?
I don't know if I'll need a college education. There's a lot of anarchists who are active in changing the system without one, so I don't know that any of us need one.
I don't think the revolution should be given only to students. I mean, you know, are we going to have like a white middle class revolution now?
Actually, real quick, I'd like to add that during one of the best examples of anarchism was the Spanish Civil War from 1936 to 1939. During that point, a lot of schools were established by anarchists where they taught history, economics, math, all these things, science. And they promoted education, and as far as anarchists and what we want to achieve, obviously we promote education, and we urge individuals to learn not only about their history, but about the political system that we live in.
Well, it seems like it would be good to learn about all this true history, as they call it, like, so you can understand where everyone else is coming from, and then you can use their own beliefs and make them realize their hypocrisy.
Smart.
Well, I would definitely agree with that, but the question is, you're talking about true history. That's rather subjective.
Well, I meant the lies they teach.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously that's really important, and that's one of the things that we believe in, is educating individuals about that history that is forgotten. The great labor struggles, like the labor struggles of 1877, or the, you know, the Haymarket martyrs, the oppression faced during the 20s with the Palmer raids and whatnot. I mean, obviously all these things we promote, you know, we promote people to educate themselves about these things so that these people are knowledgeable about them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not against education. We promote learning. I mean, obviously that's what we're all about.
Yeah, but if you're sort of forcing anarchism on everyone, isn't that kind of negating the purpose?
How are we forcing anarchism on anyone?
Well, I've heard the term anarchist revolution. Wouldn't that kind of be forcing it?
Well, in a way, you could interpret it that way, in that we're not going to let fascists, racists, capitalists stop us from having whatever revolution we have. And if you see that as forcing it, then I guess that's how you can interpret it. But most people see it as those people are trying to oppress each other people. And so if we're forcing them not to oppress others, then you could say it's justified that way.
I think also one of the things that needs to be understood is, if you look once again at this Spanish Civil War, these revolutions weren't just anarchist revolutions, although you had anarchist unions that were involved in these actual revolutions, but these were revolutions of the people. And when we talk about anarchist revolution, we don't mean just anarchists out there fighting for their freedom and their liberty and struggling for these things, but we're talking about the people as well, and getting the people involved and getting the people awake, and that's one of the aspects of anarchism.
Okay, you've answered my questions. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, whoever that was. What do you think your plans are for now? I mean, he asked about education, and do you feel it's important to go to school, or what are your individual plans?
I think that we should build alternative institutions to the educational system that we have right now, because right now we learn about how to be a wage slave, you know, how to submit.
Yeah.
Well, earlier you mentioned Howard Zinn, and like, I think knowing your history from, like, the people, how he, like, addresses history and the people's history of the United States, kind of knowing, like, the working peoples and, like, the people on the bottom, or who are all on the receiving end of capitalism or fascism or whatever, knowing history from their perspective is very important, and that kind of education is necessary for any kind of liberated society.
How do you envision, like, community schools and that kind of stuff?
Free schools. Where it's not a privilege to have an education, where, like, you can dish out like $20,000 a year to go wherever and get your education, so you can go to some, you know, big rich job, getting six digits a year and everything.
The welfare.com.
Right.
Yeah. The do you hang out at Kuhl's? Is that a good place to hang out?
No comment.
I don't hang out there. Food Not Bombs is sharing the kitchen on Monday, where we Santa Ana Food Not Bombs cooks food there.
Is there how would you create a community? I mean, if not use facilities or crews or something like that, I mean, how would you, is there a way to create something? I mean, one of the problems of the left in the 60s was that a lot of activists end up, you know, being absorbed into the system, you know, and so there was really nothing left for people who wanted to continue fighting. It was not the institutions that actually supported that.
I think Matt, we're talking about that today.
Yeah.
Problems of the 60s.
Well, yeah, I think that now, more than ever, people are talking about building those alternative institutions, alternative community unions, alternative credit unions that are community-based. These things people are talking about and are attempting to build as we presently.
Would you need money for that?
Money is always one of the biggest problems the left has, yes. Obviously, because those individuals who have money are less willing to change.
Some people are like, you know, what do you think of Ralph Nader's candidacy? I mean, he has a lot of money, and he gives out his money, you know, gives away his money, I suppose, in all these foundation things, or Green Party, and Ralph Nader, Naderites.
Well, I think that Ralph Nader is, I don't want to diss Ralph Nader, because I think that Ralph Nader does is important, but I think he's trying to save a sinking ship with a spoon.
Mm.
You know, he's not going to be getting... You know, he's reformist at best, and unfortunately, for those individuals who are on the bottom to get a fair deal, reform is not the answer.
I mean, some people, this weekend there was this Libertarian Party, right, convention, and last week I had one of the guys who was trying to be vice president in Libertarian Party. He's a drug advocate, medicinal use of drug. Advocate. Yeah, Kirby, and he didn't get it. Yesterday they came down with the vice presidential nomination there, and he lost to some mayor, a former mayor. But what do you think of their, I mean, they're pretty conservative on economic issues.
Yeah.
And they're kind of against the state on the sexual issues, drug issues, that kind of stuff, but they don't like freeloaders. They don't like the handouts. They don't so-called freeloaders.
Right,
they don't
like free market handouts. And all that too.
Right, so. Definitely.
They call themselves anarcho-capitalists, which is a contradiction in terms.
Right.
Yeah, they are pretty conservative.
One problem with that sort of theory of anarcho-capitalism or libertarianism is that anarchism is supposed to be against all oppression, and capitalism inherently makes things about money, and so people end up being oppressed because they don't have money, and the earth and animals are exploited, and human labor is exploited just so that people can get money, and that's, you cannot combine the ending of oppression with the exploitation of nature and humans.
Although I would say, thank you, that their viewpoints on the libertarian aspect is correct. Anarchists generally espouse themselves as libertarian socialists, which means taking aspects of libertarianism, mm-hmm. which means obviously decreasing amount of government control, and then aspects of socialism, creating a society that functions to help all those individuals in that society. So it's taking aspects of both socialism and libertarianism and putting them together. I think the problem with the libertarians is the fact that they seem to want more of a laissez-faire capitalism, want government out of capitalism.
Right.
And I think that if you do that, then you're going to get rid of things such as 8-hour workday, things that people have spilled blood for, people have died for. 8-hour or the child labor laws and all these other laws that people have fought so hard.
Safety net. The safety
exactly.
Net, yeah.
The safety nets.
Yeah. But do you think they're... from your looking at society, do you think they're getting, are they getting more support than before? I mean, because people are against these excesses of the state, especially over drugs, right? All these people are put in jail for drug crimes, nonviolent drug offenses. And so I think they might be able to tap into that resentment against the state.
They definitely have. Whenever like the Libertarian Party's been on Fullerton College campus, they have little strips of like hemp paper and stuff to appeal to all the stoners and everything.
Oh yeah.
Stoners would be drug users for all those who are not aware.
They definitely the youth population they tend to pursue that aspect of legalization. That's the Libertarian Party is on that. Lots of third parties are getting support because the two parties or with one ideology system isn't working. So
there's no difference between the two major parties.
I can't. Well, important things aren't different. The little insignificant things are different. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I see it.
Do you find your friends joining the Libertarian Party or being interested in that because of the anti-drug?
My friends are like. the Green Party also has like a legalization and like medical marijuana.
True, yeah.
And most of my friends who aren't anarchists lean towards that.
I see. How about you?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No what?
You asked me if any of my friends are going to be joining the Libertarian Party. Absolutely not. I would not affiliate myself with any party, nor my comrades. I don't think they would affiliate themselves with any party.
Would you register to vote at all?
No, I've been offered like plenty of times. And I gave them a big, long lecture on what anarchism was.
Right. Actually, I'm registered to vote. I'm part of the Labor Party. I vote on propositions, but I don't vote.
What party?
Labor Party.
Is that U.S. Labor Party? No.
It's U.S. Labor Party.
U.S. Labor Party.
It's a small little organization, but yes, I believe that propositions and ideas are okay to vote for. But when you begin to vote for parties and political interests, that's when things get a little shady.
So you don't vote. You don't vote for candidates.
No.
Oh, I see.
No.
You vote for on issues.
I vote for issues. I don't vote for people.
Yeah.
But there are few and far between anarchists who actually do believe that. Most anarchists don't believe in voting at all.
So anarchists don't believe in somebody ruling over them, right?
Right. Yeah. Or against authority.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. How about the census? I mean, recently there was this big national census again, and did you guys fill out anything?
No comment.
I believe my family did.
Isn't that illegal not to?
Yeah.
I think it's like a very small fine, like $50 or $30.
Well, heaven forbids, I don't want to break the law now, do I?
But they give you, I actually ran into the head of the census at a conference the other day, and I asked him why they need people's names, because, don't you just want the data? Why do you need your names? And he said two things. One was that so they can follow up, and if you didn't fill it out, they can call up and say, ask for this person, I guess. And then the other reason was that 72 years later, the census actually becomes open. So if your relatives want to find out what you put down, or some family research or genealogist, they can call up and look up your record.
I don't want to be a number. That's basically why I didn't fill out the census. My roommate knew I didn't want to fill out the census, so he didn't sign me up. He didn't fill it out for me.
So yeah, uncounted, and Garden Grove is by one less population.
Yep, that's right. It's gonna make a big difference.
So you don't buy this argument that the government needs to know so that they can allocate like services and resources to the community.
You know what I think is funny is the government always wants to know something. It's just strange how they gotta peep in on every little thing.
It's also that a lot of those resources that they say they're distributing to the community is going to things like more police, more jails, things like that. They try to say it's going to like child care and schools, but a lot of it is going to bigger government, more militarized government, and
putting cops in schools.
Exactly, having cops on every corner, cameras on every street light. And those are the sort of things that the drug war, definitely.
Police state.
Exactly. We don't want to support the police state. And that's what that money is going to. It's not going to any sort of positive community programs or anything like that. It's going to support more police, more laws, and more control over individuals.
The funny thing else also is California is number one on prison spending, but we're number 41 on education spending. So you ask about, what are we going to be counted for? Where's all this money going to go? I mean, just look at the facts.
I think it just overspent. I mean, it overtook prison spending, overtook higher education spending, even higher education spending. I think.
Yeah,
this last
I
few
have
years,
a poster
last couple
that
of
has
years,
that
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and they're privatizing even jails, right?
Yeah.
So so even the government is trying to make a business out of, And I went to I visited Santa Ana jail, and they were actually selling beds to other cities because it was so big and new and modern, and it looked like a dorm room. They had color-coded gender separate facilities, you know, pink for women quarters. And
well, you know what's funny about the jail system is every time they transfer you, they get more money from the taxpayers. So they transfer you as much as they can. I was in jail once for walking down the street, right. God forbid.
In Garden Grove.
Yeah, in Garden Grove. You know, I know it's illegal to walk down the streets these days, so I just say in my house. You know, got to get a car.
Well, this girl I was helping with this gang, when she was stopped for looking like a gang member, the police told her, they said, don't come to my city. You know, and so she said, I live here. It's my city, too. I'm an American. You know, I can go anywhere I want, she said. And she was only 14
at
the time.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was just arrested for standing outside my house watching, like, the police harass some kids that happened to be hanging out in a van near my house. And they told me to go away, you know, and all that. I said, I live here. This is my neighborhood, and I'm just curious. And I ended up getting arrested for obstructing the police. And, I don't know how, just like being concerned neighbor. I'm sorry?
Did they toss out the charges?
That was just 2 days ago, so oh, yeah. I still have to go to court.
What city was that in?
This is in Fullerton.
Wow. That's pretty, yeah, egregious. Yeah,
yeah, well, they're saying I was nosy, and basically, I know I have the right to observe the police from a safe distance, but they didn't recognize that right, and they told me to go away.
I saw these kids being stopped by police, and there was actually a lot of kids in a van. It was like 16 kids in one van.
Oh, wow.
So I think they had a right to stop them, maybe. And but they were taking off their clothes. I mean, they were pulling their shirts up. They were all Asian, and they were like maybe between 12 and, you know, 16, and they were trying to see if they had tattoos, you know, as if it was a crime to have tattoos. And I didn't dare go over to pass out my yellow cards, but the I videotaped the whole thing, so I actually have it on video. And I'm sure the police saw me across the street. It was late, and it was the night of OJ, when OJ was doing his Bronco ride,
right.
And I had watched it on TV. And then I went up into Westminster, and this was the Westminster cops. And I think it's okay actually if you stand. I would think one would be able to argue that you didn't interfere with them. You just stood there passively, and you know. But another time I saw some kids here at UCI, they were with their skateboards, and the cops had already stopped them at UCI. And I actually passed them my card, and I was taking pictures, and the cops said, no pictures. And the kids said, take it, take it, take it. So I took pictures and passed them cards. But in that case, I knew, I mean, it was UCI, so I felt more comfortable, I think, passing out cards. I didn't know. And then eventually the cops Yeah, and the cop actually apologized for telling. I filed a complaint about it, because anybody can take a picture in the public street.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there was a situation right near MacArthur Park in Los Angeles where there were a group of us having a meeting outside this cafe, and the police pulled over this gentleman, Hispanic gentleman who didn't speak English.
Mm.
They threw him up against the wall. And, you know, at this cafe, here's about, you know, I would say about 15 anarchists sitting outside of a cafe, just, you know, having a meeting. And we kind of like, you know, we were alerted by obviously the cops pulling over this guy and slamming him up against the wall. And they didn't even speak to him, didn't have any sort of conversation, started searching his car,
Wow. Which
is illegal. And we at that point got up, one of the people that we were with spoke Spanish. We asked the gentleman if he gave the police permission to search his car. He said no, and we began having a argument with the cops, telling them that what they're doing is illegal search and seizure. We wrote down their badge number, their names, etc., etc., and at that point they just turned around and left.
So yeah, if you challenge them, actually they know they're being challenged, sometimes they will back off.
Right.
Other times they would just go on, but then at least you have, you know, evidence. You can write down what happened and file a complaint. I know people don't like to file complaints. One time somebody at Cruz told me that he was stopped in South County, and he wanted me to look it up, and I went down there, and it turns out South County is patrolled by County Sheriff's Department, and they don't have any complaint forms. You can't get a complaint form. You have to talk to the duty officer. Mm-hmm. So that's a big barrier, you know, because who wants to actually talk to somebody.
See, what's funny is a certain news channel, which shall remain nameless, said that we were cowards, you know, and...
For wearing black masks?
Yeah, that, and they're coming up with all sorts of comments to cast at us, like, that we were cowards, and the cops are saying we were cowards, and the funny thing is we show up with our voices, you know, that's it. We don't show up with guns and bats and tear gas and pepper spray. And if you need to beat up people who come with their voices that have no weapons at all, with bats, guns, and tear gas spray, I mean, who's the cowards here? I mean, yeah. You didn't see the cops rushing as fast as they can during, you know, the Lakers, because they were outnumbered. During Rodney King, the cops totally backed off because they were outnumbered. But when they got five people sitting on the side of the sidewalk, I mean, they can come up and they'll beat them up, you know. And they're proclaimed heroes, you know, let's go. You know, yay for the LAPD.
You don't think it's just a case of a few bad apples?
I think it's inherently just, like, fascist. I'm sorry.
I think it's a very institution itself. I think the police, just the role of the police department, I think it attracts certain types of behavior as well as certain people who have that certain type of behavior, the sort of control... Yeah. Freak, if you will.
Jocks.
I wouldn't say that. But those individuals who are attracted to that sort of role are attracted to the position of a police officer. Now, I'm not saying that all police officers are good or bad or whatnot. I think the position itself is what I have a problem with, not necessarily the individuals. It's... But it is indeed when people get in that position. I mean, authority corrupts. Complete authority corrupts completely, you know. And that seems to be the way it goes. There is a definite pattern that once somebody is placed in that sort of behavior or in that sort of role, that they do act out in the manner in which we're discussing.
You think it's a matter of training or bad training or is it lack of leadership or what?
I think they have all the leadership they can handle, but I do think that a lot of it has to do with the training. My understanding is, if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, but my understanding is the sheriff are placed in prisons prior to them being placed out on the streets. And if that's...
Placed in prison? Yeah, that's true.
Right.
County jails, yeah.
Right. And, yeah. Okay, so here they are dealing with criminals, or what are perceived as criminals.
Right.
And... Right after, is it 2 years? Is that how long that they're placed in the prisons? Then they're put out on the streets?
I think so, yeah.
And, okay, so what is this saying about how they should treat civilians? Well, they should treat civilians like prisoners.
Hardened criminals.
Right, and they already dehumanize people in prison, so obviously they're perpetuating the idea that you should dehumanize people out on the streets as well.
And but why are young people a particular target right now? What do you think? Do you think, I mean, it seems like a lot of the stuff is, you know, all these gang enhancements, all this proposition, whatever, that new proposition.
Criminalization of the youth.
Yeah, I mean, why is all that going on?
I think
on,
it's right? basically their right new, on. They always need an enemy. America's always needed an enemy. I mean, back in the days, it was the communists.
Right.
And it still is the communists. But the big scare right now is the drugs, you know. What about the children? You know, they're always saying that, you know. Not that us anarchists don't care about children, because... Most of us are, but you know, so the new target is now the youth and anyone of color, you know, so.
How about your parents? Do they think, are they freaked out that you turn into anarchists?
They kicked me out of my house.
Right.
Actually,
I know some of you have nice parents.
Yeah, actually, I mean, obviously, I've quite older than some of the people in this room. Lived on my own for quite some time.
Yeah.
But my parents generally are rather supportive of my actions because they know what it's about. They're aware of what I espouse, what I believe in, and they know that my beliefs are sincere, and I believe in what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is right, and so they support that.
Matt, were they 60? Were they 60s radicals?
Mine
the
weren't.
Parents.
Oh,
okay.
Not.
They were not.
Mine
no. okay.
were involved in the Jesus movement.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Actually, wow. my dad's a self-proclaimed anarchist, but I think he's got his politics a little messed up. Doesn't really have the correct idea of what anarchism is, but he definitely supports supports what I do, as well as my mother. So, yeah, they both do.
Heather, your mom's very supportive.
Yeah, she's, ever since I've been into activism and anarchism, she's supported me, especially with positive things like Food Not Bombs. She really supports that. She fears that I'll get arrested or hurt because of this, but she still supports the beliefs that I'm fighting for and the fact that I'm willing to fight for them.
We all support Heather's mom.
She needs support too.
I want to say my folks give me a lot of support. My mother's a volunteer community activist, community volunteer. And my folks are always there to bail me out too when I get arrested. That's all. Yeah.
How many times?
I've only had to bail me out once, but I've been arrested 3 times. So.
I gotta say, my parents have bailed me out like a couple of times. Well,
did they give you a Bible?
5 times.
Did they give you a Bible to read?
Actually, they did. But you know what I did with it is I read the Bible. And now I have arguments to come up with, like, Christians when they come up to me or, like, come riding down on my doorstep.
Yeah, yeah. There's always a Bible group outside, UCI, outside the library. Every day there seems to be a new group of people.
Well, God bless.
I mean, there's a lot of recruits, I guess. They think young minds are, you know, recruitable. Vulnerable, and so they...
Easy to corrupt.
People want to promote the pie in the sky without necessarily dealing with the issues that we have facing us every single day. And people just feel that, obviously, if we look to the sky for answers, you know, then we're not going to be able to deal with the issues at hand right now. The issues of poverty, the issues
right.
of all the other issues that exist during this.
So fireworks, you know, are kind of a anarchist tradition. Today there'll be all these celebrations, but
I completely deny that.
You know, actually, I knew an anarchist who was actually helping put on the fireworks in Irvine for a while, and he doesn't live here anymore. So, but once he actually invited me to join in, but I didn't want to be near explosions. I thought it might be. Too deafening. but are you guys going to watch any fireworks tonight, or is that...
They're going on right outside my house, so...
You have to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I think, personally, me as an anarchist, not to get on the patriotic tip, because as an anarchist, I'm not patriotic, but I think that those anarchists that are out there, or those people who are considered subversives that are out there, you know, having a good time tonight with the 4th of July, let's keep in mind that America just isn't the America that is that normal people are parading about and honoring. America is also those individuals who have fought for ideas such as
right.
ours. There's a long history of resistance in America, and I don't see why not. I don't see why we can't celebrate those movements today.
Definitely.
But I mean, obviously, that's not to say that we should, you know, I'm definitely not promoting patriotism at all, but I think that we should keep in mind that in America, although we do have a history of racism, institutional racism, of slavery and whatnot, and all these horrible things, we also have a history of resistance to them. And
that's true.
Sort of like what Howard Zinn talked about in his book, The People's History.
Of America. Yeah.
He promoted a lot of aspects in America that are forgotten. Well, I think that I personally feel that we should take a moment to celebrate those.
Thank you very much, Matt, Heather, and Eric.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in and sharing. Oh, is there contact information for the conference at all?
Oh yeah. You can go to the website. It's naac.8m.com.
Dot AM or H?
Eight. That's in the number.
AM, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Power to the people.
I'd also like to give an email address for Santa Ana Food Not Bombs. It's safnb@yahoo.com if you want to get involved locally. Thank you.
Thank
you very much. Coming up, High Visibility with Diane Chapman. This is Dan Sung signing off for Subversity here on KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Erased from time and space, nothing to remember this place. Concrete swallowed up the land, leaving nothing suitable for us.